In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. He is with you. The Lord is with you. I'm going to focus today on our gospel reading, but I want to say a couple of brief things from our psalm and from our epistle today before I move into the gospel reading. And that's the first one I want to remind you of. The Lord is with you. I could just as well say the Lord is with us, and he is. But one of the struggles as we go through this transition and as we go through the mourning of this transition, as well as the excitement, is that it is a situation in which all of us are going through a difficult thing together. When one person you love goes through a tragedy, a loss, even just a change, it is so much easier to come around that person and support them, to ask, how are you doing? To let them know, I love you and I will be here with you as you go through this difficult time. But because we're walking through a transition that includes mourning together, all of us are in positions of some mourning. It's so easy to feel missed. I was talking with Juliet about this last night. It's difficult for me because this is a hard transition for me too. As I did the walkthrough this past week, I found myself tearing up. It's hard to be there to comfort other people when you're also in need of comfort. And that's why it's so important to remember that the Lord is with you. You. I encourage you to read the psalm for today over and over again. It is a psalm that will stay with you for your life, that will comfort you for your life. The reminder that God is with you wherever you go. God is with you whether you are on Yosemite Avenue or 21st Street. God is with you whether you're at home or in Mercy Hospital. Again, in the midst of this transition that is sort of the big news for us as a church, so many individuals in our church are going through difficulties that have nothing to do with this. Family difficulties, health difficulties. We've had more than usual number of people in the hospital in the last week or two. And it's hard for us to care for them as much as we want to in the midst of this transition as well. We need to remember that the Lord is with us, loving us, empowering us to care for those in need in our own congregation and in the community around us. And that if you are one of the people who's going through a difficult time that maybe has nothing to do with this transition, the Lord is with you. And if you are grieving because we're losing this place of worship, know that the Lord is with you. He's walking with you through this. Wherever you go, the Lord is with you. Remember that. Again, I encourage you to pray this psalm today. Not just to read it and look at it and think about it, but let the words of Psalm 139 be your prayer today. Go home and read it again. Read it tomorrow when you wake up again, and remember that the Lord is with you. The second piece I want to remind us of is from our epistle. Paul tells the story again of the Israelites who were led out of slavery, led out of captivity, and the Lord was with them, walking with them as a group through a really difficult transition. In their case, a freedom, an exodus, an incredible transition, being pulled out of slavery and into freedom, and yet a painful, difficult one. One of the many difficulties they went through is just alluded to in what Paul says. They began to grumble. Remember the story back in the Old Testament in which these people who had been led out of slavery were now in the desert wandering, and they said, yes, we used to be in slavery, but at least we had food there. We were more comfortable in slavery than we are now. And the Lord had provided them everything they needed, provided literally manna from heaven, food from heaven, miraculously provided water for them as well. And yet they said, but, you know, bread and water, that's not so much. We'd like meat as well. At least we got some meat when we were in slavery, and they began to grumble. And the Lord said, essentially, your ingratitude is a sin. I'm providing everything you need. don't be grumbling now. It would be easy to hear that as a harsh parent saying, get over it, children. But that's not what the Lord was doing. The Lord was miraculously providing for them, and they were missing it. They were missing it because they missed their comfort and they missed what they had. We need to remember that today. The Lord is with us. This property did not belong to us, it belonged to God. God could have protected this property. God could have stopped the situation. God could have said, if this property is what matters most to me, I will make it the case that you will not lose it. God could have done that. And for whatever reason, in his mysterious will, he did not. He said that other things were more important than this property. And so we are letting go of his property, not ours, his property. He is leading us to another place. And in the midst of that, he has been incredibly generous to us. The bishop alluded to this, but the Roman Catholics provided a space for us to worship. That's more than twice the size of our current space for worship. A space that's beautiful. Today you're going to get to see the new offices. They're so generous. They're so luxurious. It's amazing that we're moving from owners to renters, and yet our expenses are actually going down. We're going to be in better shape for the future because of this transition. I'm not telling you that to give you a statement of, this is, everything's going to be great, don't mourn. Mourn. We have so many personal attachments and feelings for this place. I've only been here just over a year, and yet, you know, I proposed to Juliet right there. And we're walking away from the place that we got engaged. That's painful. We're going to mourn that. Some of you have been here for decades and decades and decades, and you have children that were married here or baptized here. You've gone through incredible moments of your life here. It means so much to you. Mourn. Mourning is good. The Lord tells us to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. Mourn. Mourn well. Cry. God blesses that. God will cry with you. But don't let mourning become grumbling. God is faithful and he is generously providing for us. And don't let comfort be the driver of your decisions in the future. It may be very uncomfortable to go to a new place, and you may be tempted to do other things rather than go with us. You may decide it's more comfortable to stay home on a Sunday morning because going to a new place just seems too hard. In the future, an Episcopal church may move into this space, and you may decide it's more comfortable to go with them. I'm not even going to try to talk you out of that right now. I'm just simply going to say, care more about what they are preaching than about how comfortable the space is. Care more about Jesus being the only way to salvation rather than being one of many ways. Care more about the authority of Scripture and Scripture being our guide for life and not a book that we pick and choose and say, some of this is outdated and I will decide which pieces I want to listen to. Care about the things that matter and walk with Jesus. Finally, I want to move to our gospel passage today. Our gospel passage in the book of Matthew comes at a time of incredible transition for the Lord and his ministry. At the time of this passage, the Lord is probably in his mid-30s. So he has been living a perfect life, living the perfect human life for many years, but he is just beginning his public ministry. And he has gone and been baptized by John the Baptist, and now he hears word that John the Baptist has been killed. John the Baptist was really the prophet anointed to prepare the way for the Lord, to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And with John's death, it's now time for Jesus to enter into his public ministry in a new way. And the first thing you might notice is that he does that by going out of the likely region. He's been with the Jewish people who've been waiting for the Messiah. But Jesus, at the death of John, goes into the area with the Gentiles, goes into the area with people who know very little about God, the people who don't understand who he really is. And he begins his ministry there. We get a quotation from the book of Isaiah that emphasizes that the Lord is coming for the whole world. He's coming to reach the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And his light shines in the darkness. The Lord begins his public ministry in a place in which they don't know him. And he does this, I think, in part as a reminder to us. We are called to be God's light. God shines through us to the world to invite all people to him. Jesus begins his public ministry in Galilee, and he begins to call his disciples. We get Peter and Andrew, James and John. And each of them are not actually being called for the first time. You remember our gospel passage from last week, perhaps, in which Peter and Andrew were already called by Jesus Christ. They had been disciples of John the Baptist in some sense. They're already learning from him. And they had transferred their teacher-student relationship from John to Jesus. They were beginning to learn from Jesus, beginning to follow him. This is not the last calling that they'll get. You remember the story after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he comes again to Peter and again calls him. In words that are reminiscent of our gospel passage for today, he's again going to call Peter and say, "Feed my sheep." He's again going to call Peter from working at his nets as a commercial fisherman, as a small business owner with a fishing business, and say, "Come and give your life to the ministry of reaching the lost and caring for the sheep." And around that same time, Jesus will give a call to all of his people, what we call the Great Commission, to share the gospel with all people, to call all people to discipleship, to following him. This is one of several calls that these men receive. It is a calling for all of us. It would be tempting for us to say, well, Peter, Andrew, James, John, these are apostles. These are callings for the super religious. If you're a layperson, you might say, well, those are callings for the clergy. If you're a priest, you might say, that's a calling for the bishop. Or for an evangelist, a professional evangelist, or something like that. But it's not. It's not. There is a special calling that Peter and the others receive in the sense of, walk away from your small business and live on the road with me for a couple years as I do ministry. Walk with me where I'm going so that you can learn from me. That calling was special because that was at a time and a place in which Jesus, in the flesh, had to be 6 feet away from you for you to hear him, had to be within vision for you to see him. You had to be able to hear him speak to hear his words. But the promise when he ascended to heaven was that the Holy Spirit was going to come, and he did. The Holy Spirit came so that the very Spirit of Jesus Christ could live in us. So that you didn't have to walk away from your business or your job to walk with Jesus. You didn't have to be apart from your family to also live with God. The gift of the Holy Spirit means that each and every one of us can follow the calling that was given to Peter and Andrew, James and John. Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, fishers of people. Each of us can respond to that calling. That is a calling for every single one of us. How we do that will look different. Not all of us are called to be priests or deacons or bishops. Not all of us are called to be full-time evangelists or missionaries in a foreign country. Every single one of us is called to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and disciples of Jesus Christ share the good news. There's no distinction between the super religious and the average. Every single one of us is called to follow Jesus Christ as his disciple. This is what will be confirmed with our four confirmands today. They are going to publicly stand up and say, I accept the calling of discipleship. I accept all the duties and privileges of a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is what my life is for. And they will act it out in a variety of jobs, in a variety of settings, as fathers and mothers, as employees and employers, as friends, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, nieces. They will act out their discipleship in many different ways. But all of them will be called to be faithful disciples. And all of us, as we go through this transition, are called to be fishers. You can pick a different metaphor. Why was Peter called a fisher of man and the rest of the disciples? Because that was their job and it was language they could understand. Maybe the Lord making you a farmer would be a better analogy for you. Or a business person. A salesperson. Maybe the Lord is calling you to be a salesperson for Jesus Christ. Or a teacher for Jesus Christ. But whatever it is, you are called to share the light that God has given you, the light of Jesus' ministry, with others, to be his servant to spread the word. And as we go out from this place to a new place, and as a reminder to us, we are not here to build up a beautiful place for worship. A beautiful location is a wonderful gift that helps us to worship. It really does. It's easier to glorify God in this beautiful space than it would be if we were meeting in a warehouse. It helps us. Beauty matters. We're going to another beautiful space. But just as in our individual lives, we are not called to accumulate a lot of stuff so when we die, we have the nicest house to be sold off. In the same way, we are not called as a church primarily to accumulate a beautiful building to pass on to the next group of people. We're called to worship Jesus. And we're called to help others worship Jesus. As we go to a new location, there are going to be people in town who are asking us what's going on. There already are. They're going to see a new group worshiping in this new place, and they're going to say, "Are you a new church?" And we might say, "Oh, well, I mean, we've been here since 1879, but you know, it's kind of new, right?" But no, we also say, "We're in a new place in a new time. 10 o'clock at this new church. Come and join us. Come and join us." It becomes an incredible excuse to invite people to come worship with us. Again, there are cards out there you can hand out to people and say, "New location, new time. Come and join us." There are going to be people walking by on a Sunday morning who are going to pop their heads in. And it will be our duty to love and welcome them and invite them in to join with us. When people ask you what's going on in your life, you're going to be able to say, "My church is in a new place at a new time. It's wonderful. I'm excited. Will you come and join us?" When people say, "Why aren't you in the old place?" you can lovingly, graciously say, "We had to make a decision. We had to make a decision either to hold on to our stuff or to hold on to Jesus. And we chose Jesus." Friday mornings, I typically take a couple of hours to do some study on liturgy or pastoral theology or different things like that, and I often go to either Starbucks or Panera or different places and just take a couple hours and do some study. This Sunday, as I was doing that, I was at Panera, and I saw a group of people that were at a nearby table, and they were talking, and I just heard enough of their conversation to realize they were local Roman Catholics. And so as they were getting up to go, I walked up to them and said, "Are you from St. Patrick's?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "I just want to thank you so much for the generosity, for the way that God has used you as a blessing for our congregation." And they said, "We want to thank you so much because your church stood up for Jesus Christ and your church stood up for what the Bible teaches." We said, "You are an inspiration to us because of your love and graciousness." And they said, "You're an inspiration to us because of your faithfulness." We preach the good news to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're also preaching the good news to the town. People know that we're leaving because we stood for Jesus Christ. Not all of them may agree with us. Not all of them believe in Jesus, and not all of them believe in the stand we took. Some of them might believe that we got the scripture wrong, that parts of the scripture are outdated, that they don't apply anymore. Still, they know that we believe we are following Jesus and we're willing to give up anything for him. And again, what we're giving up is not that costly in the great scheme of things. 2016 just ended, and again, it was the highest year on record for Christians dying for their faith. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Christians died for their faith. God has not called us to anything like that sacrifice. We're walking away from a building, and that's hard. But for the gifts that God has given us, that is a cheap, cheap sacrifice to make. Mourn well, miss this place, grieve, and then hold together as a family, love one another, and share the good news with our neighbors. Remember that the Lord is with you, and remember that the Lord invites you to be with him and follow Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.